Turn your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 6. First book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 6, and we'll be reading the first five verses of Genesis 6. I'll read the even numbered verses, numbers 1, 3, and 5, if you'll join with me on verses 2 and 4 of Genesis chapter 6. And if you've found that, if you'll please stand in the honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Genesis chapter 6 and beginning verse number 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Lord, I do pray that you be with the special to prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, we are here this morning. We want to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit would be upon this place, on your speaker, and Lord, we'd have a wonderful time. We'd go away from this place changed in the way we came this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Some weeks ago, I mentioned that, and in fact, I wrote in the bulletin this morning in my space there in the bulletin about the speaking on the matter of the heart this month, the month of March, and I'm planning on that, leading that direction. I'll speak on the heart this morning, and on the heart again tonight, possibly throughout this month, just like that. Of course, if the Lord changes, that's fine. So I want to speak on the heart this morning. I want to entitle this message, A Worldwide Woe. A Worldwide Woe, okay? And I don't know, this doesn't sound right to me, but maybe it's just me this morning. Maybe it's up here. Are you hearing me okay out there? All right, very good. A Worldwide Woe. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, please help us this morning. Thank You for the good song. Truly, we are unworthy. We were unworthy of salvation, and You came and saved us when we trusted You. And now You've made us worthy, Lord, of blessings, and we thank You for that. Help me today. Bless me with Your fullness of power. Give me the thoughts that You want me to speak, that, Lord, that are on paper or maybe that aren't on paper this morning. Lead God, direct my lips, and I'll thank You for it. Speak to our hearts during this month. Oh, that's so important, so vital. Help me today, I pray in Christ's name, and amen. The population of planet Earth as of 5:30 this morning was approximately at 7.15 billion plus people. 7.15 billion, as best as it can be calculated and estimated. That is currently how many people are now living on the earth. Now, I know something that is universal about all 7.15 billion plus people. I know something that's universal about all of them. The skin color is not universal. The financial standing is not universal. The educational background is not universal. The marital status is not universal. The age and gender is not universal. The status of the health of the person is not universal. But there is one thing that each one of those 7.15 billion plus people has a serious, serious problem with. It's the same problem. It is a universal problem. It's true about each one. We all have an evil heart. We all have an evil heart. 7.15 plus billion people on planet Earth, and that is the one thing that is universal about each and every one of us. We have an evil heart. Now, as you have heard many times from this pulpit, the law of first mention is important when you study the Word of God. When you study a doctrine, when you study a topic, when you study a teaching, the first time that the word or the topic or the doctrine is mentioned in the Word of God is a place or a place that we ought to give special attention to. The first mention of the word heart is in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. That's the first mention of the word heart. Now, we're not talking here about the muscle that is pumping blood through our bodies this morning, the physical organ called the heart. I hope you understand that, okay? There might be one or two places in the Bible that refer to, when it uses the word heart, refers to that organ in our chest, all right, chest cavity. But more often than not, the word heart is talking about you and me, the inner person that we are, where we think and where we feel and where we make choices, the heart of man. And the first mention of the word heart tells us something very serious about the heart. We're not told that everyone has a spark of good in their heart. We're not told that everyone has a bit of a divine nature in their heart. We're not told that. What we are told in the first mention of the word heart is that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart, mankind's heart, was only evil continually. That's the first mention of the word heart. We have an evil heart. Now, I'm not going to major on the context this morning. There are two avenues of thought about verses 1 through 7 and so forth, about this sons of God and daughters of men. There's two avenues of thought on this. One avenue of thought, which Scofield espouses, if you have a Scofield Bible, is that the godly line of Seth, being the sons of God, intermarried with the ungodly line of Cain, that's the daughters of men. And so you had the godly line of Seth intermarrying with the ungodly line of Cain, and it produced these wild and gigantic people and so forth. The other line of thought is that these sons of God were fallen angels, evil angels, who are all male in gender, and who can all take on human bodies. And that those fallen devils cohabited with the daughters of men, and the product was the giants and the men of renown that filled the earth. Now, myself, I am of the second opinion. I wouldn't argue that with anybody. I wouldn't fuss about with that. And I even hesitate to tell you that for fear that you're going to get that on your mind as opposed to what I want to talk about this morning. But I wanted to address the context because I teach that in homiletics. And there's two guys sitting here this morning who've had homiletics. And Caleb's taking it now. And I don't want him to go back and tell all those guys. The man doesn't even do what he teaches us to do. All right? So I wanted to give you the context of that passage. Now, I am not majoring on the issue of the intermarrying between the sons of God and the daughters of men. That's not my point this morning. What I want to talk about is the heart of man. I want to talk about the heart of man. I want to talk about the heart of mankind this month. And for my first message about the heart, I decided to take the first mention of the heart in the Bible. Here it is again in verse number 5. Look at it. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, folks, that's the first mention of the word heart. So here is this truth, that mankind has an evil heart. And this truth will help us learn or understand or explain so many truths about this world. So many truths about this 7.15 billion plus people on planet Earth. By the way, this is not the only place that defines man's heart as evil. Don't turn to these. Let me give them to you quickly. We'll move on. Genesis 8:21 says, "The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." Ecclesiastes 9:3 says, "The heart of the sons of men is full of evil." Jeremiah uses the word evil heart, talking about people 5 times in his prophecy. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 19, Jesus defines the things that come out of the heart of man. And this is what he said: evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, that's lying, blasphemy. Mark adds to that list in his gospel with the words covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, pride, and foolishness. Can anybody say, ouch? That's what comes out of us. 14 definitive sins that are listed by Jesus Christ in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, and saying that all of these things proceed from the heart of man. And by the way, when Jesus taught this, he was trying to teach his disciples that man's problems do not enter into him. Man's problems spring from within him. That's true. That's what we need to understand about this earth, about 7.15 plus billion people. If we're going to believe what the Bible teaches us, we have no alternative to believe that the biggest and the worst and the most universal problem facing mankind is not famine, it's not economy, it's not this or that, it's our hearts. That's the biggest problem. It's our hearts. By the way, This explains a couple of things. Let me give them to you. Number one, first of all, it explains the problems the world is facing. It explains the problems the world is facing. You know, we can read in verse number 8 about Noah here. Okay, that's a great part of the story that I won't get into this morning. Noah lived during this time period. Now, the Bible also teaches us that before Jesus comes back to the earth, the earth is going to be similar to as it was in the days of Noah. So Noah is living now. Jesus said before he comes back, it's going to be similar to how it was in the days of Noah. Well, we know that in the days of Noah, it was wicked. God looked down on the earth in Noah's day, and he saw that mankind had an evil heart. And friend, the same is true today. Wars and rumors of wars abound everywhere. Greed and love of money and murder and rape and extortion and fraud and theft and lying and deceitfulness and pride abounds in the world. By the way, do you see that the problems the world is experiencing are the same as the ones that the evil heart of man experiences. Isn't that interesting? The problems that the world experiences are the same problems that the evil heart of mankind experiences. Because, folks, world problems are only an accumulation of man's problems. That's what it is. Men and women with wicked, evil hearts fill the earth. They sit in positions of leadership. They sit in positions of influence. They make decisions. They work in businesses and factories. They're the movers and shakers of this world. They sit in church pews this morning. The world problems are the result of the evil hearts of mankind. That's the honest truth. The world problems are not economic in nature. The world's problems are not environmental in nature. The world's problems are not health in nature. The world's problem is the evil heart of man. That's the world's problem. And God identified it here in the 6th chapter of the first book of the Bible with the first mention of the word heart. Man has an evil. I don't know about you, but when I see what's going on in Ukraine and I see Putin moving forces into Crimea, you know what I think about? I think about Don and Ruth. And so I emailed them. I said, you safe? Are you secure? Are you okay? And what's your opinion of what's going on right now? I won't go into everything that Don Oswardy wrote back. He answered me a lengthy email. He also sent it to another man who used to serve in Ukraine, David Sloan. And David Sloan added to it and sent it back. And Brother Oswardy is safe. He's secure. They don't feel any danger right now. But in his opinion, this has the potential to get ugly. It has the potential to get ugly. Now, Grace told me this morning, are y'all okay this morning? Anybody here? Are we all right? Okay, am I all right? I hope there's not something going on that's just kind of quiet, kind of dead. It snowed. That's right. I forgot, man. It snowed. Oh, that's what it is. Okay. All right. You got to pass then. Okay. Belarus, Gina and help me. No, the baby, Catherine. Yeah, are going to be here this week, right? She's coming in. And she's going to be here until she has the second baby, which is a blessing. But anyway, Belarus, hey, after the Iron Curtain fell, Belarus remained real loyal to the Soviet Union, to Russia, to the homeland, the motherland. But Ukraine has had a battle ever since. Western Ukraine wants to be independent and free. They'd like to line up with the European Union. Eastern Ukraine wants to be close to mom, next door to mom. Oh, I'm talking about Russia. And that's what they want. They want to be in Crimea, the Crimean Peninsula. And then you throw in Brother Oswardy went into the history. You throw in the matter of the Muslims. And I won't tell you everything he said, but this has the potential to get very, very, it already has been ugly, folks. 30-something people died in protest over there. I think, or was it more than that? I forget the exact number. It has the potential to get very, very ugly. Oh, I forgot, though. Our president has called and told Putin, don't you go in there. I'm sure Mr. Putin was shaking in his boots, aren't you? I'm sure he was scared to death after the straw man got off the phone with him. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. And never more so seen than in world issues. And you wait, friend. You wait. Now, Oswardy sent me a link. He said, go in here and watch this. It was a press conference. Oh, boy. I don't like to watch it. I don't. But for the first time, for about a minute and a half, I watched as our president warned Mr. Putin. There was nothing in his eyes. There was no fire. There's nothing there. Don't care. They got nothing to back it up. Nothing. Nothing. And cutting our military to pre-World War II days? This is nuts, folks. Absolutely nuts. I don't mean to get into all that this morning. And by the way, one of the reasons Russia is so concerned about the Crimean Peninsula is because one of their most important naval bases is located on the shores of the Black Sea. And that is direct access for them to the country of Syria. Now, listen, America is not even mentioned in world end time prophecy. A little bitty old country like Syria is mentioned. And Russia, Gog and Magog. You know that. Where are we? Good question. Where are we? We're probably run over. Smashed. Who knows? I don't know. But I'm just simply telling you, the world is like a pot on a stove, boiling and boiling and churning. And, you know, people say, well, it is the lack of opportunity, and it's the lack of this country doesn't have the financial resources, and this country doesn't have the educational opportunities, and this country doesn't have no, that is not the basic root problem. The basic root problem is man has an evil heart. That's our problem. Man has an evil heart. The world was filled with wickedness in this day because man has an evil heart. And the world is filled with wickedness today because man has an evil heart. That's the reason it explains the problems the world is facing. Number two, it explains why the problem is multiplying. Look at verse number one. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Men began to multiply. More people means more evil hearts. The more evil hearts, the more lying. The more evil hearts, the more fraud. The more evil hearts, the more theft. The more evil hearts, the more murder. The more evil hearts, the more greed. It's a multiplication. I don't know how many people were living on planet Earth in Genesis chapter 6, but it wasn't 7.15 billion plus. You say, oh, the problems of the world today are just so multiplied. Of course they are. There's 7.15 billion plus people. More people, more problems. Why? Because man has an evil heart. Man has an evil heart. You know, back in the 18th century, outbreaks of yellow fever were experienced in three countries, France, and Spain and Italy, and it was all because of those countries all had ports on the Mediterranean Sea, and that's where the outbreaks of the yellow fever, because people would come into port on ships and they would bring a disease with them, and they got into the practice of using quarantine, taking those people and quarantining them, putting a fence around them, putting them in a home and putting them there until they got well. But the bigger problem was not in the 18th century. The bigger problem was in the 19th century when cholera emerged like a scourge. In the early 1830s, it was in Europe. In 1832, 33, it came to the United States of America. Transportation improvements, there were not only ship then, there was also rail. And because people could travel more, the disease spread more quickly. And they had to quarantine. And they went to quarantine people. It was necessary to stop the spread of cholera. But friend, even with the quarantine, estimated millions of people still died. Now, they quarantined that kind of physical sickness. They quarantined that kind of infectious disease. But let me ask you a question. How do you quarantine the problem I'm talking about this morning? How do you quarantine that? How do you quarantine the evil heart of man? How do you do that? How do you stop the spread of adultery? How do you stop the spread of lies? How do you stop the spread of fraud? How do you stop the spread of greed? Look, every time a child is conceived, the scourge of the evil heart spreads. Every time. Because that's the kind of heart we're born into this world with. An evil heart that is full of all of this putrefaction. And so this, we understand why the problem the earth is facing, the world is facing today, is multiplying. More people, more problems. More people, more evil hearts. More evil hearts, more sin. That is the first mention of the word heart in the Bible, not talking about the organ at work in our chest cavity this morning, talking about the inner core of mankind. His heart is only evil continually. So what's the answer? What can be done? Man carries the problem with him everywhere he goes. People, the problem is not external. The problem is internal. Why do you spend time on Sunday morning? Because we have people exposed to mainline media all week long. We have people exposed to the philosophies of this world all week long, and the world will not receive. They will not accept. They will not admit that the problem is within man. The world is always looking beyond man, around man, outside of man. Certainly not what's in man. Bible preacher has to come to the pulpit on Sunday morning and say, hey folks, all that gobbledygook out there in the mainline media is untrue. There's not a spark of good in every person. There's not a bit of a divine nature born into every person. Man's problems are not beyond him and outside of him and around him. Man's problem is in him. In him. And we say amen, and we understand this when it comes to the world's problem. I'm going to tell you something. The problems we have in our marriages and the problems we have in our homes and the problems we have with each other sometimes all stem from an evil heart. We understand that. Get a grip on it. Well, I've been saved. I'm glad you've been saved for 30 years. You still got an evil heart. I've been saved for 30. I've been saved for 50. I'm glad you've been saved for how long you've been saved. We have an evil heart. That's the problem. The problem is in us. What is the answer? Well, you know what I saw this week? I looked in the Old Testament. The first mention of the word heart is in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. It talks about an evil heart, and that evil heart received the judgment of God. But when you get to the New Testament, friend, the first mention of the word heart in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said in verse number 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. From an evil heart to a pure heart. From an evil heart waiting for the judgment of God to a pure heart waiting to see God. And too long we've had reverends and ministers and doctors of theology tell us that the solution to man's problem is in money, and it's in the environment, and it's in this educational program. The solution to man's evil heart is a pure heart. That's the solution. And a pure heart is only possible through the application of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that turns an evil heart into a pure heart. It's the blood of Jesus that delivers from, cleanses from sin. And isn't it interesting, friend, that there is a universal problem. Now think about this. One universal problem among 7.15 billion people. And we have 10,000 solutions. That doesn't even make sense. We've all got the same base problem. But you know what? The solution for you is good works and do the best you can. And the solution for you is to be make sure that you get baptized so many times that the tadpoles know your social security number. And the solution for Brother Mike is that he's going to give all of his money to this. And the solution for John is something else. And the solution for Trevor is something, Trent, something else. And the solution for Brother Bragg is this. And the solution for me is whatever I want it to be, because, you know, whatever we want it to be is what it will be. That's not even close to common sense, much less Bible. We have one problem, one universal problem. Our hearts are evil. God saw all that, and He designed one solution for the one problem. The blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what language you speak, what color skin you wear, how much money you have or don't have, what kind of education you had or haven't had, good health or poor health. There is one solution to the one problem. And the one problem is the evil heart. And the one solution, thank God, is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. One solution. One solution to the whole world's problem. Say, that's too simple. It doesn't end there. It begins there. It begins there. But friend, you must admit that's where it begins. It begins with Christ. It begins with His sacrifice. It begins with His death which was by the shedding of His blood. It begins with His burial, which is to prove that He died. And it begins with His resurrection, which was to prove that He is the Son of God with power. There's none like Him who could raise Himself from the dead like that. It begins with the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. It begins with the blood of Christ. Here, I don't care where He is, where she is, where that little boy is, where that little girl is. I don't care where they live in the world. The solution to their problem begins with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ is the solution to the problem of the evil heart. Now, wait a minute. The blood of Christ is the solution to the problem of the evil heart when it comes to justification and the penalty of sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ, and how it applies to you and me this morning, those of us who are saved in this room, the blood of Jesus Christ remains the solution to the problems that you and I have with the power of sin today. But see, we're not even told that anymore. Oh, we got excuses and reasons and fallacies as to why we can't get victory, and my great-granddad and my environment, Sigmund Freud with that goofiness, fix man's environment and you'll fix man. Well, how's that worked out for us? After costing us multiplied billions of dollars of tax money. How's that worked out for us? Huh? It's nuts. We live in a crazy world. That's why it's good for us folks. And you think, well, man, I don't know. This is kind of basic. Well, listen, I'm preaching on the heart this month. And the first mention of heart in the Bible for my first message is that God says man's heart is evil. You and I better come to grips with that. And just because we got saved, thank God we did, the blood of Jesus Christ forgives us from the penalty of sin in our hearts. But friends, sin still has power over us. And the only thing that will conquer that is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why 1 John says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. Us. I told the class this morning upstairs, I've told you before, that knife falls because of the law of gravity. That's why it falls. It's called the law of gravity. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible tells us that the law of sin and death is in our bodies. It's in us. If you're breathing this morning, you're alive. Some of you, I don't know if you're there or not. Really, I really don't. If you're alive this morning, you're breathing, you've got the law of sin and death in your body. I don't care how long you've been saved. It's in us. It's in us. The reason that knife is not falling to the ground right now is because there is life in this arm that supersedes the power of the law of gravity. And the Bible tells us that when we get saved, we still have the law of sin and death in our bodies that pulls us down. But thank God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we now have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that can help you and me rise victorious over the law of sin and death. Your temper is not because of your dad, your granddad, your great uncle, his half-brother, his cousin. No. Your temper is because of your evil heart. Your attitude toward your dad that just stinks so poorly. Your attitude towards even the preaching of the church, the whole services of the church where you come in week after week and it's just bleh. That attitude is not because of anybody on the outside. It's not because of anybody in the outside anywhere. It's because of what's in your heart right here. And if you would get serious about it and understand that and accept what God says about it and realize that, you know what, my evil heart is my biggest problem, and realize that the blood of Jesus Christ not only forgives you from the penalty of sin, but it can help you with the power of sin in your life. You don't have to have that attitude. You don't have to. You can live victorious. I'm just saying, folks, that the first mention of the heart of man in the Bible is not a pretty picture. man's heart's only evil continually. One worldwide woe. Our evil hearts. One solution to a pure heart. The blood of God's own Son. Not just applied once, but over and over and over. Not so we can be saved and resaved and resaved, so we can be forgiven and cleansed and washed on a daily basis so that we can live victorious and rise above the power of our own evil hearts. Now, you know what that is? That is the truth. You won't find that on CBS. You won't find that on NBC. You won't find that coming out of the White House or the governor's mansion in Chicago or wherever it is. But you'll find that coming out of the Bible. And somebody who's just committed to come to the church pulpit once in a while and preach it like it is. A worldwide woe is the evil heart of man. The worldwide solution is the precious blood of Christ. Let's bow our heads. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the victory that we can have in His blood, through His blood. Lord, I pray as we watch our world go up in smoke and blame it on man's evil heart, I pray that we will also look within our own homes, our own family structures, our own personal lives, and Lord, see the deficiencies that we have, the weaknesses that we experience, Lord, the infirmities that we experience on a daily basis are because of our evil hearts. I'm not talking about physical sickness and all that. I'm talking about our defeat living in sin, and sin having power over us, and having power over our temper, and over our language, and over our lust, and over our eyes, and our ears, and God, over our tongues. Help us, Lord. Call us, please, to a position of practical righteousness. Help us, Lord, to deal with the evil heart that still lives and beats within us. Please, may the blood of Christ wash us and cleanse us on a daily basis. Help us to walk in the light and live in this world with a pure heart, God. A pure heart, please. Oh, make that the desire of our hearts today. To live with a pure heart, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who would say this morning, Pastor, you said something that the Spirit of God used to speak to my heart. I need to be reminded of wherein my troubles lie, and I want to address it rightly, and I need for God to give me victory in certain areas of my life. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please, all across the room this morning? Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you. You may take your hand down. Let me ask this question. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. Anybody like that today? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have that assurance. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that today? You can know that heaven is your home. I don't want to miss anybody. Keep it up for a second. If you're not sure that you're saved. And then if you'd like to be baptized and obey the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. If you want to pray this morning, ask the Lord to help you. Maybe there is some lingering problem and you'd like to blame it on dad or granddad or blame it on aunt or mom or sister or the boss at work. Friend, why don't you come today and ask God's help to face it head on, an evil heart. Lord, get it fixed. Get the blood of Christ at work in my life to give me victory every day. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Lord, bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts today in Christ's name. While the ladies play, they're playing a song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Yes, that'd be wonderful. Visit the altar just a moment. Take a moment with God down here. What's God said to you? Speak back to Him. Don't give in, friend. Don't give in to the psychology and the philosophy of this world that likes to take all the blame for our problems and put it everywhere where it really belongs. Would you help us today, Lord? Speak to our hearts, oh God. Please help us.